This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Well, I guess it was kind of a good day for Rex Heuermann. There won't be an eighth, at least not a young woman named Colleen McNamee. McNamee was a young woman murdered in 1994. They've determined that Rex was not behind that one, which would have marked the eighth. Still behind the other seven, allegedly, but not this one. So what does this all mean? Well, it's finally closing a door that had hung half open for years, for a very long time. She was believed by some to be yet another victim of accused Gilgo Beach serial killer Rex Heuermann. Now, she's not. The DNA says so. And that matters more than people realize, because when you strip away the hysteria, the hashtags, and the monster under the bed narrative that's followed this case since Heuermann's arrest, and rightfully so, you're left with something much harder. The difference between suspicion and proof, between pattern and precision, between what we think we see and what the science actually says. And it's important to make these decisions or these distinctions and not just throw everything onto the steaming pile of poo named Rex Heuermann, because there are other steaming piles of poo out there. And they should be caught and recognized and held accountable for their crimes too. Don't just pile everything onto the one guy because it's the easiest one to do at this moment in time. Certainly take him down for the ones that we know, but that's something that happens in cases like this where you have so much destruction, so much death. There is a temptation to, well, it looks like the shoe kind of fits. Add it in. We'll get him convicted on that too. At what cost? Well, the DNA says you can't on this one. Colleen McNamee was 20 years old when her body was found near the William Floyd Parkway in Shirley, Long Island. She was beaten, strangled, and left in the open like a discarded secret. It was 1994. It was a brutal decade for women working on the fringes across Long Island, women who vanished and were later found dumped in marshes, parks, and wooded edges of the same region. The stories blurred together in memory and media coverage, all carrying the same haunting notes. Vulnerability, violence, silence. And the public's reaction? Well, they're the unwanted ones anyhow, so why should we care? I know, pretty sick and cold way of looking at human beings, correct? It made sense, at least superficially, that investigators and reporters wondered if McNamee's name was part of the same tapestry as the Gilgo Beach murders. And yeah, certainly want to cross that bridge and see where it leads. The timing, the geography, the profile, it all looked familiar. Then, in 2023, the arrest of Rex Heuermann gave everyone a new gravitational center to orbit around. The man who supposedly fit the profile, the quiet architect from Massapequa Park, whose Google searches, secret accounts, and cold clinical double life made him the perfect face for a suburban horror story. But DNA doesn't care about storytelling. It doesn't care about archetypes or villains or whether something fits. It just tells you yes or no. And this time, it said no. Suffolk County Coroner's report, dated October 21st, made it official. Rex Heuermann is excluded as the contributor of DNA labeled unknown male A from the McNamee case. The science didn't hedge its bets, assuming the mixture was clean, assuming there was no dropout or contamination. Heuermann was not the source, period. And that changes the landscape in a subtle but important way, because if the last few years have taught us anything about the Gilgo investigation, it's that everyone from armchair sleuths to professional pundits loves to assume more. More victims, more buried secrets, more blood, and there may be, but not in this hole. But now we've got something rare in this universe of speculation, a confirmed less The irony, the person who pushed for that DNA test wasn't Huerman's defense team. It was another killer, John Bitterloff, a former carpenter from Marionville, serving 50 years to life for the murders of two women, Rita Tangredi and Colleen McNamee. He tried to shift the blame to say, maybe it was Huerman all along. Well, the test blew that theory apart. So one killer trying to deflect onto another inadvertently gave us one of the few moments of clarity the case has offered. Now, let's rewind a little bit, because to understand why this single exclusion matters, you have to look at what's still on the table. Rex Huerman is not a man cleared of suspicion. Far from it. He is still sitting in custody, facing charges for 7 murders that span nearly 2 decades of horror along Island's South Shore. 7 women: Amber Lynn Costello, Megan Waterman, Melissa Barthelemy, Maureen Brainerd Barnes, Sandra Costello, Jessica Taylor, and Valerie Mack. 7 lives cut short. 7 families haunted by the same kind of grief, one that's half agony, half unfinished sentence. Their bodies were found between 1993 and 2010, most of them in or near Gilgo Beach, some dismembered, some wrapped, some scattered in the thickets of marshland that border the ocean like nature's own crime scene tape. The pattern was chilling, methodical, and for years, unsolved. When investigators finally circled back in 2022 under Commissioner Rodney Harrison, they started stitching together threads that had been ignored or lost. Burner phones, overlapping cell towers, grainy car descriptions, and degraded hair samples. Those hairs, rootless, brittle, decades old, became the lifeline. Modern tech found partial matches to DNA from Huerman's wife and daughter. That alone didn't prove murder, but it proved proximity. It proved presence. And in a world of cold case forensic, proximity is kind of everything. That's the difference between Huerman's accused victims and Colleen McNamee. The evidence lines up in the 7 charged murders. DNA, geography, timing, the behavioral profile of a killer, and what prosecutors have described as a planning document found in Huerman's home. A grotesque handwritten playbook complete with lessons learned. It's hard to hear those two words, lessons learned, and not think of someone cataloging his own efficiency at killing. And that's essentially what it was in his document. But McNamee, her story belongs to another monster entirely. Bitterloff was convicted of her murder back in 2017. Along with that, Rita Tangredi, another sex worker murdered just a year earlier. Both women were beaten and strangled. Both left discarded in wooded areas of Suffolk County. Forensic evidence, blood, and semen tied him directly to those scenes. It was a slam dunk conviction, but in the twisted logic of the criminal mind, Bitterloff later tried to turn that conviction into leverage, arguing that McNamee and that case might not have been him at all. Enter Huerman, already the poster child for every unsolved killing in Long Island history. It was convenient to invoke him, a bigger, newer boogeyman. But again, DNA doesn't bend to convenience. It just answers the question, and the answer it said loudly was no. The takeaway here isn't just that Huerman didn't kill McNamee. It's that we can now see the edges of his alleged violence a little more clearly. For all the talk of serials who just keep going, this finding reminds us that not every predator owns every body that fits a pattern. Sometimes evil has a zip code. Sometimes it's divided by streets, towns, or years. Sometimes two monsters hunt in the same woods without ever crossing paths. It's a grim kind of relief. For Suffolk County prosecutors, the ruling also tightens their case narrative. They don't need more bodies. They need more certainty. Every confirmed exclusion sharpens a story that they'll tell a jury one day. That Huerman didn't just kill, he hunted. He planned. He stalked with precision. He hid behind a double life as an architect, a father, a man whose Google history reads like a dissertation on domination and disposal. For the defense, ironically, the Agnami exclusion is a talking point. See, they'll say, they thought he was responsible for that one too, and he wasn't. Except that argument in court, that probably might not hold quite as much water. But expect it to appear in interviews, filings, motions. That's how this game works. One confirmed no becomes a seed of doubt about all the yeses. But context still matters. In the McNamee case, the DNA found belonged to someone else, someone already convicted. In the Gilgo Beach cases, the DNA, the digital trails, and the behavioral mapping keep leading back to the same man. And if you look at the sum total of evidence, hair fragments, cell phone triangulations, search histories, witness accounts, it paints a very different portrait than the one Bitteroff painted for himself. Still, for the families of the women found on Long Island's marshes, it's not about technicalities, it's about truth. Whatever form that truth takes. From Colleen McNamee's family, that truth already came in 2017, when her killer was convicted. For others, it's still waiting somewhere in court filings and forensic databases years after their loved ones were stolen. And this is where it gets uncomfortable for the true crime audiences follow the Hearman case like a serialized drama. Every time another murderer or another murder gets ruled not him, it chips away at the fantasy that one arrest can solve everything. The Gilgo investigation was never clean or simple. It was a patchwork of overlapping eras, offenders, and methods. Some of these women were murdered by different men who used the same highways, the same anonymity, and the same disregard for human life. The Long Island serial killer might really be the Long Island serial killers, plural. So when we hear that Hearman's DNA was excluded from one of those early cases, we shouldn't read it as an exoneration. We should read it as clarification. The truth doesn't shrink in moments like this. It becomes sharper. It tells us we were right about the whore, just wrong about who owned which piece of it. And maybe that's the most chilling revelation of all. There was more than one predator hunting those roads. There still is. As for Hearman, his story is far from over. The prosecution's case keeps building. More than 2 years since his arrest, he remains jailed without bail. Investigators in this case say he kept trophies, searches, and planning documents. Witnesses describe him as awkward and detached, a man who could vanish emotionally in the middle of a conversation. His family, his wife Asa Elrup, and their children have been left to pick up the shreds of a public life shattered by the allegations. But amid that chaos, one small piece of clarity. He didn't kill Colleen McNamee. It's a strange sentence to say out loud. There's no celebration in it. No vindication. Just relief, quiet and clinical. Relief for the McNamee family, who can stop hearing their daughter's name dragged through another suspect's headlines. Relief maybe even for the investigators, who can mark one box closed and focus on the horrors that remain unsolved. And yet there's nothing else here, too. There is something else here, too. A reminder that our appetite for closure sometimes blurs the line between solving and assuming. For years, we've wanted the Gilgo Beach mystery to end with a single villain, one name that could tie together decades of fear. But every new piece of data, every confirmed exclusion, every new suspect shows us the truth is a lot messier. So yes, there won't be an eighth, at least not this one. But there were seven. Seven that the state still says Rex Hearman did kill. And until a jury says otherwise, those cases remain very real. The lesson, if there is one, is that DNA is both sword and scalpel. It cuts through myth, but it also divides what we thought was whole. Hearman's world is shrinking to fit what can actually be proven. And for the first time in a long time, the Gilgo Beach investigation feels a little less like folklore, a little more like forensic reality. That's what happens when the science speaks louder than the story. What are your thoughts? Do you think there's going to be more for Rex? Be an interesting situation, if there was, it would certainly, almost certainly continue to push back a trial that's already taking forever to get to. And how much fuel does Rex have left in his fire behind bars? I think we'd like to see him face the consequences for his actions in a courtroom. But if there are more, then he should definitely face the consequences, maybe in additional trials. Give me your thoughts on what the future may hold for Heuermann in the comments section on YouTube. Love to see that. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. That is where you will find us. And press subscribe, too, while you're there. No matter where you're listening to us in a podcast platform, press subscribe there, too. Please, please, please. That's how other folks find us as well. Yes, you pressing it, then you get it. But then other folks also find out, hey, people like this. Mikey likes it. So please do that if you're enjoying our content. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.